This evening, I'd like to call your attention to Matthew chapter 19, where Jesus Christ is confronted by a person, and they ask him the question. This is Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" I want us to think about that question tonight. Good master, he approaches Jesus and addresses him in an honorable manner. Good master. Now here's the question. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That's a simple question, isn't it? Surely we can understand the question. He's asking Jesus what he's got to do in order to have eternal life. Now, tonight, in the interest of time, I'm not going to get into everything that Jesus said to this young man, but I want to come down to verse 25 and verse 26. "When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved?" Now the question is, what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? How many of y'all want eternal life? I do. I want to go to heaven and live with God for eternity when this life is over. But what have I got to do in order to have eternal life? That's the question. And I think that's a fair question, because this young man obviously doesn't know about the grace of God. He doesn't know about the redeeming blood of Jesus, but he knows he's a sinner, and he believes in eternity, and he wants to go to heaven when he dies. So he's asking Jesus, what good thing must I do? Now I want to ask you all, if somebody came up to you tonight and asked you that question, what would you say? See, he's not asking what have I got to do to join the church. He's saying, what have I got to do to have eternal life? Now I hope y'all have been coming to this church long enough to be able to say to that young man, there's nothing you can do. Now, I believe that.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing that you and I can do in order to have eternal life. If there was, then Jesus could have stayed in heaven in his glory. But he's come down here as the Savior. Now, after the conversation with the rich young ruler is over, he goes away sorrowful. Why did he go away sorrowful? Not because he wasn't in possession of eternal life. I think the fact he came to Jesus asking about it would indicate that he is already born again and thinking about it. Men dead in sin don't think about heaven and eternity. They're all about this world. But this young man goes away sorrowful because he has great possessions. It's hard to not get into that whole conversation. But in the interest of time, let's notice the disciples apparently didn't fully understand how salvation it comes, because they asked Jesus, who then can be saved? And Jesus finally answers the question in verse 26. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men, this is impossible." How many of us don't understand the word impossible? You know what impossible means? It just means something is not in the realm of possibility. Jesus did not say it's difficult. He said it's impossible. You know, it would be difficult for me to get to New York City by foot. It'd be a long walk. But it wouldn't be impossible. It'd take me a long time. And I would be wore out. But I believe I could walk to New York City. I've had friends that walked the Appalachian Trail. That's a long walk. It took them a long time. They lost a lot of weight, but they made it. It was not impossible, but it was very difficult. Jesus does not say it's difficult for men to do something to go to heaven. He says it's impossible. That's impossible for me to fly to the sun. That's impossible. But it's not impossible for me to walk to New York City. When Jesus says with men, this is impossible, what is he talking about? He's talking about men doing something in order to have eternal life. And Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. You know, that little statement right there does away with all of the ideas and theories that men have come up with as to what you've got to do in order to go to heaven. Jesus says it's impossible. How many of us believe it's impossible with men? But I'm glad Jesus didn't stop there. He said with men this is impossible. Now, if he had just stopped right there and not said anything else, I would be a very sad person, and I certainly wouldn't have any good message to preach. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said with men, this is Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, he said with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. How many of y'all believe that? God is a sovereign God. And it's possible for him to save even the chief of sinners. And you know how he did it? By giving his son to come into this world and live a perfect sinless life and then die on the cross and shed his redeeming blood and wash away all of our sins and then impute the righteousness of Jesus to our account. That's how God did it. It wasn't easy. But he did it. He was willing to give his only son. Salvation is free to us, but it wasn't free to God. It cost him his only son. And oh, how you and I ought to deeply appreciate that tonight. That's why we're here, isn't it? To worship him and praise him and thank him for giving his son to die for our sins. The question: what good thing must I do that I may have eternal life? And the answer is, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now that's eternal life. And the Apostle Peter was standing right there and heard Jesus say that to the young man. Peter heard the conversation. He heard Jesus say that it's impossible for man to save himself. But let's turn over right now to Acts chapter 2 and verse 40. And this is on the day of Pentecost. And the Apostle Peter stands up and preaches to thousands of people. And the Apostle Peter said in verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves. Now wait a minute. The Apostle Peter heard Jesus say, with men it's impossible to save yourself. And now the Apostle is telling men, save yourselves. Has the Apostle Peter forgot what Jesus preached? Has the Apostle Peter had a lapse of memory? Is he contradicting what Jesus said? Has he found out Jesus was wrong? No. He's talking here about another kind of salvation. He says, the Apostle Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now it's impossible for you and me to save ourselves for heaven. So Jesus did that for us. But it is possible for you and me to save ourselves from this untoward generation. And that word untoward there means crooked. And let me tell you, the generation that was in Israel when Jesus was living was a crooked generation. They were violent, they were evil in many ways, and they crucified our Lord Jesus. Now the Apostle Peter is saying to these people on the day of Pentecost, I want you all to save yourselves, not from eternal hell, because Jesus did that for you on the cross, but I want you all to save yourselves from this crooked generation we are living in. And let me tell you, things have not improved since the Apostle Peter preached that sermon. Things have not improved on the earth. Things are still all around us that we need to be saved from. Would y'all agree? I want to go with you this evening over to 2 Timothy, and let's notice something that the Apostle Paul said to the young preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, who hath, talking about Jesus' work on the cross, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. Now the children can get that. Not according to our works. Listen to this. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The salvation that Paul is talking to Timothy about in this verse is eternal salvation, being saved from eternal hell to eternal heaven. And God has already saved us, who hath, past tense, saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Good works are wonderful. The more good works you do in this life with the right attitude, the more blessed you're going to be among men. But your good works won't save you for heaven. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. You see, we worship a God of purpose. God had a purpose when he sent Jesus into this world. It wasn't an accident. It wasn't experimental. He sent him down here on purpose to get the job done. And he saved us according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I love that. Salvation is by the grace of God. Eternal salvation is. Now I want to back up tonight and read to you a text that Paul wrote to Timothy, found in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul would say to this young brother, he said, I want you to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Whoa, wait a minute, back up. Is Paul confused? He told Timothy that you're not saved by your good works. You're saved according to God's purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ before the world began. And now he's telling this young brother, I want you to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine and continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What salvation is that? Well, that's not eternal salvation, because we know that is impossible with man. But the salvation that Paul is talking about is possible. It's in the realm of possibility. Timothy could take heed to himself. He could take heed to the doctrine. He could continue in them. And in doing so, he would save himself and those that heard him. Now, what was it that Paul was wanting Timothy to save himself from? Let's back up to chapter 4, the early part here in 1 Timothy. And Paul would say in verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." That is, the Holy Spirit of God speaks clearly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And the faith there is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying that some will depart from the faith. That is, they'll depart from the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Did you know that the devil has doctrines, plural? Did you know there's only one true doctrine in the Bible? They're not a multitude of true doctrines. There's only one true doctrine. Notice, if you will, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some should depart from the faith." He didn't say a faith. There are not many faiths. You know, people will say, "Brother Sam, you are of the primitive Baptist faith and I'm of this faith." Listen, there's only one faith. There's only one true gospel in this world. But there's many doctrines of demons. Y'all didn't know the devil had doctrines? Oh, he's got them. And Paul said that men will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, Paul is saying to this young brother, Timothy, "Timothy, I want you to take heed to yourself." Now, a minister needs to take heed to himself first of all. Nelda and I listened to the wonderful funeral service for Elder Bernard Goins out in Freona, Texas. And one of the men who spoke knew him very well, Brother Ronnie Hedges. And Brother Ronnie, in his message, talked about the godly life that Brother Bernard Goins lived. He was a man of integrity. His word was his bond. He was a CPA for many years. He was a brilliant man in knowledge. He passed the CPA test the first time. That's almost unheard of. He was a brilliant man. But I tell you, he was a godly man. I was always blessed to be in his company. And Brother Roddy mentioned that, you know, ministers ought to serve the gospel out of a clean plate. Would y'all agree with that? Do y'all want to hear somebody preach that's not taking heed to themselves? When I eat, I enjoy eating. How many of y'all enjoy eating? I enjoy eating, but I do like to eat clean food out of a clean plate. I was at a place one time, and they had chicken and dumplings. It was a big pot of chicken. I love chicken and dumplings. But there was a big fly sitting right on the top of them. I just lost my appetite. How many of y'all would want chicken and dumplings mixed in with flies? I wouldn't. You know, in the old days, it was hard to keep gnats out of your food. They were everywhere. You know, in that season, Elder Bird said you used to just eat them like black pepper. I couldn't do that. I want to eat clean food out of a clean plate. Now, Paul is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, I want you to take heed to yourself." See, it's not enough for me to get up here and tell y'all to behave. I need to behave as a man of God, as a minister of the gospel. Now, I fall, I fail, I understand that. But I want to take heed to myself and then to the doctrine. A man of God is not only to live a clean life, he is to preach a sound doctrine. Take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Let me tell you, there's a lot of good men in America who are preaching unsound doctrine, and that's sad. And there's some that have preached sound doctrine, but they weren't taking heed to themselves. Paul says, "Timothy, I want you to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. And continue in them." Stay with it. You know, they say the value of a postage stamp is its ability to stick with the job. You put a stamp on a letter and it falls off, it's no good. We got to stick with the job till Jesus calls us home. Jesus said one time about discipleship. He said, if y'all are going to follow me, you need to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. And he says, if a man is going to build a tower, a building, he needs to count the cost, because he needs to know what it's going to cost him to finish the building. If he builds it half finished, people are going to mock him and make fun of him. If a man's going to go to war, he needs to consider his enemy. If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to join the church and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, consider the cost. And it's not where you sign up for 10 years or 20 years. You sign up for a lifetime. Amen? Paul is saying, continue in it. I may not be able to preach publicly as long as I live. I don't know how my health will hold out. But I know one thing. I want to be faithful. You know, you can be faithful on a hospital bed. In a nursing home. Did you know that? I've seen people faithful to God right down to the end. Elder Von Marshall down in South Georgia. God bless his memory. He was faithful to the end. I saw him when he was 88. I said, Brother Von, how old are you? He said, I'm 88 and it's getting late. He had a great sense of humor. I saw him the next year. I said, how old are you? I'm 89 and it's about time. But let me tell you, he hung in there. He was faithful. Right on up to the end. How many of y'all want to be faithful? Do you think our Lord Jesus deserves us to be faithful, to continue with the church? I do. I want to tell you, he didn't quit. He hung in there, didn't he? All the way to the bitter end. And Paul is saying to Timothy, I want you to continue in them. For in doing this, listen now, are y'all listening? What's going to happen? You'll save yourself and those that hear you. Now what's he going to save himself from? These doctrines of devils. He's going to save himself from these spirits of evil. How many of us want to be saved from that? I do. I want to know the truth when I'm on my dying bed. I want to be able to leave this world rejoicing that Jesus paid my sin debt for me. I tell you, that's a blessing. Brother Mike Shepherd told me today after church, he knew a brother he worked with, a man he worked with, and he was always worried about people dying and going to hell. Good man, I'm sure. But he didn't know the truth. How many of y'all do know tonight that everyone Jesus wants in heaven is going to be there?
Amen.
Perish the thought that somebody that Jesus loved and died for and paid their sin debt for them is still going to go to hell. No. Elder Byrd used to say, if one of God's children go to hell, he'll ransack hell to get them back, because he bought them and paid for them. I believe that. But a lot of God's children that are going to heaven live in hell on this earth. And we need to save ourselves. That's what Peter said. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. What are the things that you and I want to be saved from? I watch Dr. Phil occasionally on TV. I don't know if y'all have ever watched Dr. Phil, but I like his show. He's always been an entertaining guy to me. And this week he had three women on his show that were addicted to alcohol. And I tell you, it disrupted their lives. It sabotaged their lives. I've seen alcohol ruin the lives of good people. Men, women, and women. Now, let me tell you, you know the way to never be an alcoholic? Don't ever take the first drink. But if you do, you need, and you're drawn to it and it gives you a high, best thing you can do is just stay away from it. Now the Bible doesn't say you gotta be a teetotaler. Jesus made a lot of wine at a big wedding. And it was good wine. He didn't make cheap wine. There's nothing wrong with having a glass of wine if you can enjoy it and handle it and it doesn't give you a buzz. But let me tell you, alcohol can be dangerous. Drugs. How many of y'all want to be saved from drug addiction? They say over 100,000 Americans have died in the last year over with fentanyl. Did you know that could happen to us, our children, our grandchildren? How many of y'all want to be saved from that? You're going to have to save yourself. How many of y'all want to be saved from jealousy? I'm going to tell you, jealousy is a monster. It'll eat your lunch. It's crueler than the grave. If you're jealous of anybody, their success, their car, their house, their clothes, their looks, their kids, you're giving in to something that'll wreck your life. Be happy for them. Rejoice with them. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I tell you, I've said this a lot of times. Brother Obey, when he joined our church, he finally got his driver's license after the third test. I rode with him one time. That was enough. I never did ride with him again. But he drove an old car, and it didn't even have air conditioning in it. And I said, Brother Obey, I wish you could have got a car with air conditioning. He said, Pastor, this gets me from point A to point B. Beats walking. Africa's the walking continent. I won't ever forget the night they picked me up in Kenya at a little airport that had a tent for a terminal. And we drove about 3 hours in the dark. And we saw hundreds of people walking in the dark. I remember seeing a man on crutches with one leg walking. Let me tell you, Obey was happy to have a car. And I tell you what happened to that car. When he came to sell it, he got more out of it than he paid for it. Now that was amazing. And Obey wasn't jealous if you drove up in a brand new Lincoln. No, sir. He was proud of his car. He taught me a lot. How many of us tonight are jealous? Come on now. We're tempted to be jealous. When I hear a preacher preach 1,000 times better than I'll ever preach, I don't want to be jealous of him. I want to praise God for him because he's preaching my Jesus, right? He's lifting my Lord up. Don't save yourself from jealousy. You can do it. You may have to work at it, but you can do it. Did you know you can save yourself from gossip? I think I told you all one time, this lady told me in Birmingham, she said, Brother Sam, I know you preach against gossip and I know it's probably not right, but I gossip and I kind of enjoy it. She was honest. That beat all I think I'd ever heard. She confessed and acknowledged that she enjoyed it. Until I asked her, I said, well, what about people gossiping about your children? You want somebody gossiping about your kids? That sobered her up. Let me tell you, beloved, I committed myself years ago to not say anything about anybody unless I would say it to them. And that changed my life. And you say, Brother Sam, how can you do that? I'll tell you a good way to really help us manage what comes out of our mouth. Imagine that Jesus was sitting right there by you when you're talking. And the truth is, he is. Ooh. When you're talking about somebody, just imagine in your mind, my Savior's listening to every word that comes out of my mouth. I'm not saying we shouldn't speak the truth, but we ought to do it in love and not talk about people behind their back, because that would make us a coward. Let's save ourselves. Primitive Baptists could have saved themselves a lot of heartaches over the last 100 years in America if gossip just shut down. Are y'all listening to me tonight? How many of y'all want Cool Springs Church tore up over gossip? They don't allow it in a courtroom. We shouldn't allow it in the church of God. Did I hit anybody tonight with that? Oh, let me tell you. Save yourself from discouragement. Do y'all ever get discouraged? I was talking to a preacher on the phone tonight coming over here, and he struggles with discouragement. Well, let me tell you, discouragement is a luxury that preachers just cannot afford themselves. You know, discouragement is probably the devil's best weapon against the ministry. Are y'all with me? What if I just give in to discouragement? What about you all? Which side of courage are you on? Are you on the encouragement side or the discouragement side? Do y'all go around encouraging people? Or do you go around discouraging people? Let's be encouragers. Let's save ourselves from discouragement and having the blues. Let me tell you, there's some music you can listen. There's some music tonight on YouTube I could listen to on my way home, and I'd be so blue by the time I got home, I'd be crying. I mean, the blues. And there's other songs I could listen to, and I'd just be as happy as a lark when I got home. Be careful of the music you listen to. Be careful of what you watch on TV. I said today, I've never watched an Andy Griffith, and I felt discouraged after I watched it. You know, it's kind of uplifting, isn't it? Let's be encouragers. Let's save ourselves from things that are displeasing to our Heavenly Father. I want to tell you again tonight, Jesus has saved us from hell to heaven right by Himself. That was not impossible with Him. It's not impossible for you and me to do what He's called on us to do. We're going to sing a song now and give an opportunity for membership in the church. And that's something Jesus taught us to do, to join the church, to be baptized. And if you're here tonight, and that is your burden, and you want to be a part of this church through water baptism, which speaks of His death, burial, and resurrection, we're going to give you the opportunity to do so.